How can I know anything about God? God is not silent. And Psalm 19 will declare to us in a powerful way that God is speaking and we can know him. But we will not know God just because of the intensity of our seeking, but because of the clarity of God's speaking. That's what Psalm 19 will declare to us. I would invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me. Let's pray and ask God to open our eyes to see him. Father, as we come to your word again this morning, we come with great anticipation. We know that it is your word and not ours. We are not gathered to hear the words of men. We can find that anywhere. But we have come to hear your voice. And I pray that you would speak with clarity to every heart present. Father, we confess that we cannot know your truth except that the Spirit of truth guides us into all truth. So would you guide us? Would you open our eyes and our ears? Would you let us behold wonderful things in your law? And this morning we join with all those down through the history of the world who by faith have put their full trust in Jesus. And we understand and know who you are by faith. So give us faith to listen and to hear and to believe. God, be glorified this morning in your word. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, who comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the ends of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving my soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eye. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Likely to many of us, these are familiar words. And the psalm naturally divides into two parts. There is the first section about God's work in all of creation. You see it in all the psalms, but this psalm particularly describing the heavens and all the heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, the stars, and the sky. Declaring God's work, his general revelation, God is seen in all of creation. Verse 1 to 6. The second half naturally divides by God's word. Look how verse 7, there's this change that happens. It's the law of the Lord, the testimony, the precepts, the commands. It's ways of describing the Old Testament scriptures. And it really brings us to the place of more specific revelation of God. So where the first section, verse 1 to 6, is the work of God, the second section is the word of God. But I think we miss the point of this psalm if we just divide it between the work and the word. Because I think the powerful understanding of the psalm is seeing how these two are woven together. Did you notice it in verse 1? The heavens, the work of God, the heavens are what? The word. They are declaring the glory of God. You see, you can't separate it out. The key to understanding the psalm is how do they work together? And there's two parts. The first part in verse 1 to 6 is that God's work is actually his words. God is declaring from his powerful creation his word and his message. There's three ways that God's work is unmistakable. The first is that it's obvious. Look in the first few verses. It is declaring. It is proclaiming. It is a speech in verse 2. It is revealing knowledge in verse 2. In verse 3, it is a voice. Verse 4, over and over, it's a voice. In verse 5 and 6, there is this powerful image. The sun moving across the sky from our perspective. It is a simile. It's a word. It is like the sun. And nothing is hidden from its heat. It is obvious. That's the end of verse 6. Whether you have eyes to see or you are blind, whether you can communicate in a known tongue or you can only feel the heat of the sun, it is obvious to every human being that has ever lived on this planet. God is revealing himself. It is obvious. But it's also continuous. Look at verse 2. Day to day and night to night is really an Old Testament way of saying from one day to the next day and from one night to the next. It's like Psalm 32 where David says, day and night your hand was heavy upon me until he repented. What is David saying? He's saying, God, all the time, 24/7, here is this message of God. In the brightness of the noonday sun and the heat we feel and the darkness and the powerful image of the stars, it is continuous. And it is universal or global. It's everywhere on this planet. You can see it in verse 3. There's no speech or language. It's not limited to a human tongue. Look at verse 4. That goes out to all the earth. The end of verse 4, to the ends of the world. So what is this message that God is declaring in his work? If only we knew. It's right there. It's in verse 1. You need to read it with your own eyes. What is the message that is being declared to us this morning? The heavens declare the glory of God. Are you listening? Do you hear the glory of God? It's not a whisper. It's not a whisper. Look at the words he uses. It is being declared. It's being proclaimed. It is revealing knowledge. God's work is speaking. You can't escape it. It is obvious, continuous, and it is universal everywhere on this planet. It's the words of Romans 1, isn't it? You don't need to turn. We know these words. And if not, you can look it up later. Romans chapter 1, verse 19. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood by what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Because God is speaking. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God. Does that not capture your heart? What is the message? The heavens are declaring the glory of God. And it demands a response that as we know him, we would be those who glorify him. And in Romans 1, although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshipped and served the created things rather than the Creator. This is more than just the wonders of our world around us. And sometimes we are distracted from the very message that creation is not just showing us the creative. It is showing us the Creator. That we would know God and that we would worship him and glorify him. So God is speaking in Romans 1:20, since the creation of the world, from the very beginning, God's work is revealing who he is. But this psalm is saying more than that, isn't it? Verse 7, there does seem to be a real shift, a big change in the psalm. And we wonder, where does this come from? Look at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. It almost seems like it should be two psalms. How does it connect to verse 6? In verse 6, it says that in the picture of the sun, this metaphor, this simile, just like the sun, nothing is hidden from its heat. And then the very first description is the law of God that is perfect, that no one will escape the perfect law of God. That God, we sang about it this morning, that God is the ultimate judge of all the motives and the thoughts of every human heart. The law of the Lord is perfect. His eternal power is being revealed, and at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. But you see how David continues on to describe the specific revelation of God. It's, look at all the words, the law, the testimony, the precepts, the commandments, the fear of the Lord, and the rules or the decrees of the Lord. And I know that I overemphasized when I read it. I read the law of the Lord is perfect. It's not the law of man that's perfect. It's not the law of the church or the traditions of the church that is perfect. It's the law of the Lord, the one that's being revealed, that is perfect. What an incredible reminder yesterday to be at Ann Tabe's funeral. Lord, teach us to number our days, that we can present to you a heart of wisdom. It's not just talking about God. It's not just David's word about God. It's God talking about himself. Men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. In God's word, God is revealing himself to us. The New Testament is the same. The Apostle Paul said, you accepted the message we declared to you, not as the words of men, but for what it really is. The very word of God, moved by the Holy Spirit. But David is saying more than just a specific word. Do you see how it's connected? The work and the word in verse 1 to 6, and now the word and God's work. What is God's word doing? Do you see it in verse 7? It is not just a word that you come to church and, well, if you care to listen, the preacher's going to get up and say something about some thoughts that God has. It's not just a word to listen to. It is a word that revives our soul. Look in verse 7. It is a word that is doing its work in my life and yours. It will make wise the simple. Do you see how this entire psalm is the work of God in his church? Look what it does. It revives our soul. It makes wise the simple. It rejoices the heart. How is there joy in the suffering and the cancer that Jack Clark has to face? Because there is a hope beyond this world. It is God's word that convinces us of truth. The fear of the Lord in verse 9. It is this absolute powerful recognition that God is the ultimate, almighty Lord of the universe. And what does it do? The fear of the Lord endures forever. And the rules of the Lord are righteous altogether. Look at those adjectives at the end of the first line of every verse. It is perfect. It is sure or certain. It is right. It is pure. It is clean. It is true. And then it's this powerful Hebrew piece of poetry, verse 9, 7 to 9. And he wraps it all up at the end by saying, it is righteous altogether, declaring who God is. It is this enduring, fearful worship of God as he is. And sometimes in the church, we try to tame God. We try to make God in our own image and bring him down to our level. And it reduces our worship to just something like our understanding of our own Father. No, he is God Almighty, the maker of the heavens and the earth. And all of creation is declaring his glory. And in his word, he revives my soul. And he will do the work of reviving your soul, making you wise. No wonder David can say in verse 10, it's more to be desired than gold. Oh, the foolishness of riches, the deception of all that we can somehow wring out of our life here. It's worth way more than much gold. Why? It's kind of the words of Jesus, isn't it? In Mark 8 and Luke 9, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? This word of greater worth than anything in this world will revive your soul. You will gain your soul. This is the hope of the church. The gospel that Bill and Janice will be declaring. The glory of a Savior. And then verse 10 and 11 act as a wisdom proverb. Look how verse 11 declares, by them your servant is warned. And we cannot take the teeth out of this passage. If we don't understand that God is almighty and that the fear of the Lord is demanded by those who see him as he is, the glory of the Lord fills the temple and people are on their faces in worship, then we will never be warned. We will just say, yeah, it's a good thing to go to church. It's a good thing to be good. It's a good thing to be religious. But God is not silent. And if you meet the Lord of the universe as he is, you are warned. This is wisdom. In keeping these decrees and these laws and these commandments that are perfect, there is great reward. And look what David does in verse 12. Who can discern his errors? The honesty of a question that says, who even knows our own heart? To know the perfection of God, and we kind of congratulate ourselves. You know, I'm having a good week. I'm living pretty good this week. I haven't done anything horrible. I shook my fist at somebody once in traffic, but other than that, I was a good Christian this week. We can't even see the error of our own hearts and the pride of our own being. Who can discern the error of our ways compared to God's glory? And look at David doesn't even answer the question. In verse 12, he does what a true understanding does. He immediately goes to prayer. Do you see it? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. You know what that is? That's a simple cry. Purge me. Make me clean. Forgive me, Lord. I don't even know the sin of my own heart. But God, in the revelation of who you are, forgive me. God, forgive me. Do you see how it revives your soul? Do you see the kindness of God in this passage? And then he goes on, the prayer that most of us know as Christians, as followers of Christ, we need the next very prayer, don't we? Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. God, make me clean and help me walk in your way. Keep me from presuming on you and the presumptuous sins of my own heart. What a wonderful verse to have in front of us this morning. This is our prayer. And look at how verse 13 ends. Let them not have dominion over me. Why? Because we see who truly has dominion. We see God who he is. And we are saying, do not let presumptuous sins have dominion over me. God, you have dominion over me. And then, did you notice when I read it how much I emphasized it? Then I will be blameless. When we cry out to God from truthful hearts, that then we will be redeemed, we will be forgiven, and innocent of great transgression. Lord, rule over my life. Does your heart not resonate with this? Don't you kind of feel the psalm beginning to stir your soul? Oh God, do this in our church. Oh God, would you do this in my heart? Would you declare the glories of God in all creation? Let me see it. Let me hear your voice, what is being proclaimed. And oh God, as you speak from your word, would you do it in me? Would you revive my soul? Would you make me wise? I am so foolish. God, would you let your word do its work? What a wonderful psalm for us. And look how it ends, the very last phrase of verse 14. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Here in the Old Testament, we find Jesus. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. 1 Corinthians 10 tells us that they followed this rock in the Old Testament, and this rock was Christ. Jesus, our Redeemer, in Psalm 19. As we cry out to him, he is the one that cleanses us by his death. Do you see how this whole psalm works? The entire psalm is about speaking. The entire psalm is about words. It is general revelation. All of creation declares. All of creation declares and proclaims. And then it's specific. It's God's word. It's God's word that does this work to revive us. And then it is personal. Look at the bit that I missed in verse 14. It's still a prayer. Verse 12 till the end is a prayer. And after cleansing, David prays, let the words of my mouth, let the meditations of my heart be pleasing to your sight. What is he saying? God, let my voice join with all creation to declare the glory of God. Can you pray with me? Can you do this? Say, Lord, do this work in me. Let's pray. Father, we began the sermon simply by confessing that we need your Spirit to guide us into all truth. And I would pray that in the personal sanctuary where every single person sits, I pray that you will speak. We ask that you would speak because your servants are listening. Father, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church in all creation. Give us hearts to pick up your word in all of its clarity. Not just to memorize verses and to know the address of our favorite theology, but to see you. And Father, let us join David in this prayer that you would take a burning coal from the altar and you would burn these lips and join my heart and my thoughts and my tongue to all of creation to declare the glory of God, to declare your glory. And Father, for those that are here that don't know you, I pray that you will captivate their soul from your word this morning. And for those who do, I pray that you will revive our soul and make us wise. In the name of Jesus, our resurrected Savior, we pray to the glory of God. In his name we pray. Amen.